All right, folks, welcome to part two of the program Already in Progress.
Now, Benjamin, it was about 3 years ago, maybe even 4 years ago, I was talking to you on the phone when I lived in Colorado. I remember this. And at that time, Watchman's Cry was newer than it is now. And I didn't understand how mean people could really be in the beginning of this ministry.
You hadn't seen Satan manifesting in the life of a pseudo-Christian?
No, not like I have now. And I remember there was an individual that was spreading some slander about me, and I called you on the phone, and you said, "Welcome to the club, brother." You, I don't know if you remember this,
yeah,
but you brought to mind a verse in 2 Peter about how we're supposed to bless and not curse others. Do you remember this?
Yes.
And when we talked about this, you said that they're going to be out there, but we have to fight fire with the light of God with love and not use the same weapons that the enemy is using. And at that time, we kind of made an unofficial type of covenant vow with one another that we're not going to be party to reviling back in return. We have to pray for him. Do you remember this?
Absolutely.
Okay. Ever since that conversation, I have made that my policy in this ministry. With my wife, I've made it the policy that we try to pray for them. Also, I've tried to make it my policy effort to not defend myself. If at all possible, just ignore it. But in the last 3 or 4 years, they're still out there. They have reproduced. They're out there, Benjamin, but I do not really care to defend myself because I know that the Lord is my defense. But I also know this. I have received emails from people saying, "Nathan, there's a website that's saying stuff about you. Are you going to say anything?" And I ignore it. I say, "No, the Lord's my defense." And they say, "But you should at least explain it so that, you know, to put people at rest." But up to this point, I have not defended myself, Benjamin, because my mission with Watchman's Cry is to deliver the warning message and challenge people to repent and to feed them. That's it.
Right.
So I don't defend myself. However, since we're talking about this plague, pestilence, contagion, etc., I do want to, I'm not going to mention names. I'm not going to go into too much detail, but I'm going to keep it broad just to communicate with the people how it happens, how Satan will get a hold of someone and bewitch them and then poison them and pollute them and then somehow make them feel justified. Let me reference first this verse in Proverbs 6:18, a false witness who speaks lies, one who sows discord among the brethren. In my pea brain, Benjamin, I've always said, I don't think I'm that smart. I just share what God tells me. That's it. I'm not trying to impress anyone. Someone actually made a website saying that I do this ministry because I love the notoriety. And I don't know what notoriety they're thinking about, but Benjamin, this is a hard task, and you know this.
Yeah, I've had some experience with that.
Okay. So those that sow discord, in my simple mind, I picture someone taking a wedge. So the person's whole purpose and motive is to get people to not like me, to get them to hate me, and to think that I'm not legitimate, I guess. So the way I've watched it happen, it's amazing, Benjamin. Day one, a new person will come to Watchman's Cry, hear the messages. They'll actually get touched by the Holy Spirit. They might even weep, cry, repent, get touched by God, start listening to the programs, and then they write me and they say, "Your programs are anointed. They've changed my life." And then they're a listener. But then somehow, through the scheming of the enemy, they hear someone's gossip or slander saying that I just make up the prophecies that I share. I make up the visions. They're not true. So this new listener hears that, and I don't know how it can happen because they write me and say that the message touched them and they got saved. They were backslid, they got touched. But now they hear someone slandering, saying I make up stuff, and then they write me and say, "I found out that you made up your prophecies. I'm not going to listen to you anymore."
Well, the birds of the air came and stole the seed of truth out of their heart. You know, I prayed about this in detail, and the Lord reminded me that his children who know his voice, they can tell when his ministry and the people that the Lord has called are speaking in the Holy Spirit. The listeners that know the Lord, they bear witness because the Holy Spirit in them bears witness that this is coming from the Father. This is from the Lord. Then the lying demons, the legion of evil spirits that have been sent by Satan into the church to discredit the word of truth, they all start, you know, muttering and peeping in the dark. The children who know the Lord, they won't listen to the voice of the muttering demon. But the people that don't know the Lord will. These muttering demons that are speaking through the voices of slander and false accusation have actually been sent to bring division into the body. And they're dividing the living from the dead. They're dividing those who can hear the voice of the Lord from those who cannot. They've come as a test to purify and to purge the remnant, because it's a purging when you get hit with these stones. But they've also come to bring the final deception to the damned. This is an outreach of Satan to gather as many souls into his kingdom, to see who will follow his lying spirits. Because see, the children of the Lord, they know when they've heard the voice of the Lord. And, you know, Nathan, when I first heard you on Watchman's Cry, I knew I was hearing a voice that was speaking in the Holy Spirit. And that's why I contacted you. And I said, brother, we obviously know the same King.
Amen.
And we've gotten together and become good friends. And I love coming up here and spending time with you in prayer and in worship. And, you know, I hear some of these slanderous attacks against Watchman's Cry. And they're insane. They're as insane as the attacks that come against any legitimate ministry, because I know Nathan is speaking and ministering in the Holy Spirit. But that's why Satan is so enraged. He's coming like a flood against every true watchman in this hour. And those who have ears to hear and can discern in the Holy Spirit will know that it was the voice of the dragon. Those who have no discernment, they don't know how to hear the Lord, and they can't really discern in the Holy Spirit, they may be swept away by the lie. But if you use the Bible as a reference, folks, the Holy Scriptures tell us you should not receive a word of condemnation or accusation against an elder in the faith unless there are two or more witnesses. And I don't mean two or more speculators. Someone that said, well, you know, I heard Benjamin has a job. He works for corporations. He even works in Babylon. Seriously, I've been accused of having a job.
You've been accused of having a job.
I have. One of the slanderous attacks against me is that I work in corporate America, which is part of Babylon. I mean, that's absurd. That's like stupid. I've been accused of bringing my book forward for the money, which we never made any money, folks. We spent more on radio time, tens of thousands. We spent more than I could afford to spend. That's why we had to stop spending it. But there was no money, okay? And we didn't even want the money. Actually, I wanted to save my friends and my family. That was my agenda. The reason Nathan and I are here today is we're trying to warn the church that this slander outpouring is about over. Now, the beast is going to open his mouth, and the dragon's going to open his mouth, and a flood of deception is going to go through the world and deceive the damned into eternity. But within God's people, I really believe the Lord's about to take action on this, because it's just gotten to the point of out of control. And, you know, because people don't know their Bible, Nathan, they don't know they're supposed to test these things. They don't know they're supposed to get confirmation from actual witnesses and not go off hearsay. You know, as I mentioned in Peter, we're told our conversation is supposed to be holy. We're supposed to lay aside, I'm reading from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, lay aside all malice, that's anger, and guile, and hypocrisy, and envy, and all evil speaking. And that word in the Greek means defamation. We're not supposed to defame one another. And defamation legally is defined as slander or libel or traducement, making claims that appear to be factual that give a negative image. These actions actually can allow for both criminal and civil penalties under secular law. These are criminal acts.
Even in the world.
In the world, this is illegal. You could go to jail or suffer massive financial damages.
For defaming somebody.
Yes.
Okay, let me interject this, Benjamin. I want to, ladies and gentlemen, I know that there's a tendency for people to say there's open season. When you're on the internet, you can say anything you want about anyone or whatever your content is, and there's no repercussions. There's no problem. But Benjamin, this is what I have noticed with the quote unquote remnant that is actually awake. They know what's going on. They know a lot about the New World Order. They know what time it is. But these same people, let me use an example, and I'm not going to bring this example up to just whine. All right, Benjamin, I'm just giving an example. And folks, please hear this example, because I have seen this happen thousands and thousands of times. But here's what it is. When I used to have my forum, there's no way of knowing who's on the other side that joined the forum. I have no clue who they were. I tried my best when someone joins to find out if they had participated in other forums. I tried to find out who they were. It was amazing that out of every 100 that joined, 50 to 60 of them, I could find their participation somewhere else in internet land. And it would come up on pagan forums, on sex forums, on gay forums, on pedophile forums, on racial hatred, KKK type forums, on Nazi forums. I mean, it was all over the map.
And they were trying to join your forum too?
They were trying to join my forum. But I would find this and then I would tell them, I'm sorry, thanks for trying, but no, you don't fit. Now, the people that seemed to be fairly safe, I let them in. So then when they joined, I would always hope for fellowship, Benjamin. I wanted the listeners that were out there that listen to these programs to have a way to come together, talk to one another, and for it to be safe, a safe environment, safe from the world, safe from Babylon, safe from all the garbage and dirt that's out there, a safe place to come together in a fellowship hall where they could be refreshed and know they're not alone. And for the most part, that took place. And that fed my passion. I love to know that there's some widow in the middle of nowhere who's very lonely, could come to my forum and find friendships. I loved that, Benjamin. My wife loved it. Well, unfortunately, this is not a perfect world. So inevitably, when a topic was brought up that maybe someone didn't like, or maybe they were having a bad day, maybe they didn't get enough sleep, maybe they were sick, they're stressed out. I don't know. People have bad days. So what would end up happening eventually was we would have conflict, arguments, and disagreements. That's what moderation's for. So I would have moderators to try to put the fires out. Sometimes we would try to talk to them behind the scenes and say, you know, your response was a little too much. Can you tone it down or apologize? You actually offended them. And it's so interesting, Benjamin. Half the time we confronted someone and said, you know, you are a little bit too hard, they would get angry. They'd get mad. Who do you think you are? How dare you? I don't need to put up with this. And then sometimes they would actually start turning foul mouth. The cussing would come out and you're a fraud. I knew you were a fake the whole time. I hate you. I mean, it was all sorts of responses, Benjamin. Okay. So when they responded that way, then I would have to take away their membership. I would ban them or turn them off. Okay. Now from that point on, here's where it gets interesting. And this is where I sadly learned about human nature in the remnant. Here's what would happen, Benjamin. Those people would go off into the internet and start blogs, start WordPress blogs, or they would make a YouTube video.
They had to get busy.
They got busy. And the next day, I get an email saying, have you seen this blog? And on the blog, it starts saying Nathan is the devil. Nathan's a fraud. Nathan is a liar. He makes up his sermons and all this stuff that I'm not even that creative with coming up with. I'm a FBI informant. I'm a agent. I work for the government. I mean, it's all over the place, Benjamin. One person said that I'm just stealing visions from people in the old days, in the 40s and 50s, and I'm recycling them for myself.
Well, that's creative.
Yeah, that's creative. One person said that I don't actually live in Idaho. They know that I live in somewhere on the East Coast, and I'm making it up. So
you were actually on the East Coast right now?
I guess so.
I didn't notice that fact.
I guess so. But some of these YouTubes that were made about me, Benjamin, would actually say, when you go to Nathan's forum, they love to ban people.
The forum that bans them all.
Now, Benjamin,
I had a forum once, too. I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about. But my wife would get the emails and read these things, and she would say, what do you mean we love it? It breaks our heart. It's like a family, a child leaving, a relative, a sibling. We don't want to see them leave, Benjamin. It hurts so much. But these people, in their anger, would go off and start these blogs, and they would start slandering. They would be doing what we just read here in Proverbs 6 says is an abomination. And here's where it gets interesting. The people who we thought believed in our ministry would read those lies, and then they would write us or call us and say, I just read this stuff about you. Now I have my doubts about you. And then they would believe it. So it's so discord. The people out there were trashing Watchman's Cry.
It did real damage.
It did damage, but I still didn't want to defend myself. I didn't want to talk about it. I do not mention these things on my regular programs. I don't mention who these people are with these blogs and who they are, because I don't want to waste my time with them. I have a job to do, Benjamin. But the reason I'm bringing this up is because, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to me right now, there's probably a chance that you came to my forum when it existed, and after I shut it down, some of the individuals that left my forum went off to other forums and started trashing Watchman's Cry. And they're mentioning Donna, my wife. They bring up my name, and they actually say accusing things, Benjamin. Now, you just read, you said in the world, defaming someone. They defame my name personally. They talk about my personal life.
Right.
They brought up my motives, stuff that they just made up. They don't know me.
Right.
They've never been here. But they would say things, and in their writing, it sounded, I guess because it's in print or in...
People would just believe it because it got said by somebody.
So people believe it. So the defaming occurs, and the defaming that's happening is by people who I thought were part of the remnant. Benjamin, another quick one. When I had my fire,
right?
When we had our fire on December the 6th of last year, there were actually individuals on other forums on the internet that said they were glad it happened, or I deserved it, or God's punishing me, or they were wallowing. They were enjoying the misery that I was going through at the time. So, Benjamin, I'm not saying it because I feel sorry for me. It comes with the territory. But I'm just bringing up that, what does God think about this when he looks down and sees how his kids are acting?
He thinks, whatever you've done unto the least of these my servants, you've done it unto me. So they're defaming and slandering the Lord Jesus Christ. And he takes it extremely seriously. It's an abomination. He puts them in the same list as baby killers. People that do murder and shed innocent blood. The people that have done this have really, they've made a bed they don't want to sleep in. They've got judgment coming they can't even imagine. And, you know, the Lord tells us in Exodus, you shall not raise a false report. Do not put your hand, this is Exodus 23, verse 1, do not join hands with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. If you stand up and say, oh, I know that Nathan did it for the money, and you don't know anything of the sort, you're just lying through your teeth and thereby deceive other people, you are not only an unrighteous witness, you've joined hands with the wicked one, and you're walking in an abomination. Nathan, I've had the same experience. I had a forum, and it was a disaster, and I got blamed for everything that was written on there. It was all as if I had written it, and ultimately had to shut it down because it became an insane asylum.
Wow.
And I've had every... It did. The forum was insane. There was a handful, a small percentage of the people were beautiful, godly people that you would love to meet and you'd love to interact with.
By the way, Benjamin, let me make one quick comment. Ladies and gentlemen, if you were a part of my forum and we had good times, I miss you. Folks, it's just so painful. The pain, the tears that Donna had to go through for...
And the work. The work's unbelievable.
Well, the betrayal, though. The betrayal is just so horrible, Benjamin. Words cannot describe the pain that my wife went through in the betrayal.
I did one. I know. I mean, when you first told me you had a forum, I told you you will shut it down at some point.
Well, we made it 3 years, a little over 3 years. So
that's incredible. I only made mine a year, but then I'm not as patient as...
You know, Andrew Strom had a forum, and he tried twice, and same thing.
Well, Satan sends in these slanderers and these people that sow the discord. And one thing you guys should realize, when if you run into the slanderer, and he starts tearing down this ministry, tearing down that Christian, if all he has to say is evil, speaking evil about everyone, you need to understand, when he leaves your presence and goes and talks with other people, it will not be long before he is slandering you.
Now, Benjamin, Satan does not want the remnant to get ready. Satan doesn't want those who could be candidates for the remnant to be ready with strength what's coming. He doesn't want oil to be in their lamps. He's trying to
kill them.
To kill them, exactly. He's trying to persuade them to go the wrong direction. So since he doesn't want them to be warned, of course he's going to try to nullify the warning message. And some of these websites and blogs and forums who speak about you, they speak about me, they speak about some of the other watchmen out there, Augusto Perez, Rick Wiles, just go down the list.
Funny, though, they never call us and ask us if there's any truth to the allegations.
Right, and they will find character flaws, character faults in all of us, but... Ladies and gentlemen, let me just say this from a person that wakes up and eats breakfast just like you do. God has to use someone. Right now, he's using Watchman's Cry, and part of the mission, he uses Benjamin. And we're nothing that's impressive. God knows that we're not that impressive.
And we know it, too.
We know it, too. God had to take some defiled fishermen with foul mouths, Benjamin, and he used them to turn the world upside down. So I know I'm not that impressive. I know, folks, you don't have to start a blog telling the world how many flaws Nathan has. Let me just say it. I am flawed. I'll say it for you. I'm undone. Benjamin, my wife, it reminds me every day, I'm undone. Boy, does she. So
the least among them.
Exactly. So that's who we are, folks. We're just trying to do a mission. We're trying to just spread the warning. And for someone to take the time and the effort and the expense of their energies just to rip us apart, I really do not understand what would drive these people are just obsessed.
If we can kill the messenger, maybe the message will go away. But folks, that isn't how it works. The Lord sent us. If you want to kill me, you can't stop God from judging you just by killing me or killing Nathan. That isn't going to help. Actually, if you try to kill us or kill our reputations, you're just going to make God madder at you.
It's madness, Benjamin.
In their conscious mind, they're angry at the report that judgment's coming. And if they can discredit the messenger, then you can dismiss the report.
If people would look back in your history, if they would look back in my short history, God has revealed some things in my ministry, in prophecies, in messages, as well as you, Benjamin. Those things are coming to pass now. They're happening.
Well, let's go back 11 years to the summer of 2001. I'm running around telling everybody, we're about to be attacked by United and American Airlines, which I saw in a prophetic dream, that America would be attacked by four airplanes from United and American, that we would go to war as a result of being attacked by our own airline, and the war would escalate and get bigger and bigger until it turned into World War III. And I talked to Jeffrey Nyquist, shared with him the dream, and I saw the nuclear attack on the country, and I caught the fallout in my dream, and I described the fallout, and he said, have you ever been to an atomic test? No. You described fallout exactly.
In your dream, you saw fallout coming down?
I saw fallout. I held it in my hands. It was like chipped paint. It had weird colors swirled around. It was like grayish white, and then it had oranges and browns and yellows and kind of weird contorted. But anyway, and I said to him, you know, could the enemies attack us with planes that look like United and American Airlines? And he said, no way. Not going to happen. He said, I don't understand it, but we're about to be attacked by United and American Airlines. And that's going to start the next war. And he said, Benjamin, that sounds crazy. How could we be attacked by United Airlines? And I said, I know it sounds crazy, but it's going to happen. But then on September 11th, 2001, about 6 weeks later, we got attacked by United and American Airlines.
Since that 9/11 vision, you've had other warnings about the economy.
Oh, yeah.
The darkness.
Yeah.
What we're seeing now.
Big time.
And you've talked about it.
Oh, yeah.
You're on record.
You know, I'm trying to save the little children. You want to know my heart? Okay, who's Benjamin Brook? Look, I'm probably, you know, one of my family, a sister-in-law, actually. You know, I told her, look, this thing's getting really close. And she knows. She'd rather not know, but she knows. Because, you know, if you're related to me, you heard this, okay? And she's, you know, she's a little upset. And she said, you know, you're looking forward to this, aren't you? And I said, you know what? I'm not. But I said, I didn't volunteer for this job, you know? It's not that I like the judgment or I'm happy about what's coming. God called me for this purpose. He gave me this message. The Lord took me out of my living room and showed me the future. He showed me the attack on America with United and American Airlines. I saw the atomic bombs going off. I caught the fallout. I watched the Christians being slaughtered like animals. I wept for 7 days from what I saw. And then the Lord said, warn the people. And then he told me to write a book. And so I spent 7 weeks writing a book. I never thought it would be published. I spent my own time and money, and I went and I made a bunch of copies at Kinko's. And I went to all my friends and I said, I took 7 weeks to write a book for you. Would you take a few hours and read it for me? I took 7 weeks out of my life, and I did it to save your life. Would you please read this book for me? And I thought a few of my friends would read the book and they might see and I could save their life. That's all I wanted to do. I never thought it would be published. One of my friends was a retired doctor and his wife and him took the book on vacation to Hawaii, Nathan. And they started reading it at like 9 o'clock. And when you fly to Hawaii from the West Coast, you know, you get there late and you're kind of tired and you've been traveling all day. This couple was in their 60s. Nathan, they started reading the book at 9 o'clock at night. They didn't put it down. They pulled an all-nighter, and they didn't finish the book until breakfast. And they pulled an all-nighter? And it's the first thing that happened when they got back from Hawaii is they called me and they said, we want you at our house. We want to bring all our friends. We want you to tell our friends what the Lord's done. And then they said, this needs to be published. People need to hear this. And so next thing you know, the book got published, and then somebody sent it to some prophecy group, and they call me and they want me for national tour, and next thing I'm on TV, and next I'm on Coast to Coast, and next thing I know, the book's going out the door like wildfire, and I'm getting all over the radio, and God's having me speak in public, and miracles are happening, and there's signs and wonders confirming the word of truth, and then the lying spirits come out. He did it for the money. No, I didn't. I did it for the children. One lie after another. None of them are true. None of them are true. And I know Nathan. He's my brother and my friend. I'll tell you something. Nathan is one of the people, if you ever get a chance to pray and to worship with this brother, it's worth the drive to get together and to pray and to worship God with Nathan and his family, because these are holy people. These are people that know the Lord. And you know, Satan wants to shut us down. He wants to shut Nathan down. He wants to shut me down. And he wants you guys listening to the false prophets. And they're everywhere. There were 450 false prophets in Israel for every Elijah. And, you know, today, if there's like 300 true people that have got the true prophetic word in this country, and I don't know how many there are, there could be 3,000, I have no idea. But if there's 300 that are true, I think the number of false ones would be like 600,000 or... I mean, it's a crazy number, folks. And, you know, the worst part of this is that these lies, they're bringing death and destruction not only to the people that have brought the lie, but to the unsuspecting saints that don't have the discernment to know the difference. And they just take it and run with it. You know, if somebody says, oh, you know, Benjamin did it for the money. Folks, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Oh, Benjamin wrote the book because he can't make money anymore. The thing is, you have to understand, Satan's lies, they don't need any foundation in truth. They can be anything. I mean, Satan just makes them up, and his little servants just spit them out. And then people read them on internet land and go, oh, maybe it's true. Well, you know what? Why don't you go see if you can confirm it? You know, if you hear an evil report, which is a lie, and then you repeat it, assuming that the hearsay or the deception that you heard was true, you now bear both the shame and the penalty for the false witness that you've brought, as if the very sin originated with you. False witnesses were a great evil among the people of God from the very beginning of the nation of Israel. This was a terrible evil. Under the law, they receive a judgment in the form of the very harm they intended to impose on their brothers. If their intent was to destroy the person's name, their name would be destroyed and blotted out of the book of life. This is one of the most serious sins you can commit. As Nathan mentioned, it's an abomination, and it's up there with murdering innocent children.
Benjamin, for the person that's listening right now, and they're saying, you know, shame on me, I guess I have done that, but how do I know? I mean, I just don't want to be lied to, you guys. I mean, can you blame me for wanting to be careful? So how do I know that your ministry is true? How do I know, Benjamin, that what God showed you is true? People said that it's not, so how do I know?
Well, every word of truth is confirmed. You pray, you fast, and you pray, and you ask the Lord, Lord, if this is someone that you want me to listen to, show me. And then you look and you test things. How do you test things? You test them by the scripture, and then you test them by the Holy Spirit. So let's test by the scripture. You look at what is coming out of somebody. What are they sharing? And does it line up with the Bible? And you have to know the scripture, and then you have to listen and discern what you're hearing. And you need to be very careful, because a lot of the false teachers, and folks, there's a lot of false teachers now. I mean, they're everywhere. They sound pretty good at first. But then they start introducing the error. Then you've got the watchman in this hour. And you know what? I'd like to go back to David Wilkerson's vision, compare it to what's happened in the last 39 years. And here's what David said about the false and the true church. David said, an army of true believers are going to come forth. Folks, we're going to form an underground church. And that's where we are. You won't find us in the big buildings. We don't have the satellites or the big TV stations. We're underground right now. But we're going to spring forth out of the earth. And we're going to be preaching the return of Jesus and the end of the age. And you know what our message is? The day of the Lord is at hand. You want to know what else we say? All flesh is grass. And every one of us has sinned. We better get fasting and praying. I spend 7 days weeping and crying because God shows me his judgment and he tells me to go warn the people. And what do the people do? They want to kill me. But at the same time, there's a small remnant who contact us and say, thank you. I know I heard from the Lord. I know you spoke the truth. And you know what? I'll reiterate what Nathan said. I am not a great man of God, okay? I've never asked anyone to follow me. Go listen to some of my older messages. In almost every message I told you, go read Micah 7, where it says, place no confidence in a guide and trust not in a friend. And I told every one of you, you don't listen to me, you don't listen to any man as your guide. You learn to hear from the Lord. I told you God's judgment's coming, and his standard of holiness is higher than you've understood. And you better get serious with the Lord, and you better repent, and you better begin fasting and praying. And if you're not doing what the Lord commands in this hour, then you are in disobedience. And if you're in disobedience, you got no reasonable expectation that you'll be among the remnant. Now, it's up to you guys to decide. You know, you could go on a blog and it could say, hey, you know what? I heard Benjamin Baruch was a jerk. You know what? I'll confirm it. I've been a complete jerk. So I confess. I repent. I was a sinner. I was a jerk. You know what? Probably I committed every sin in the book at some time in my life. If I didn't commit it in my actual life, I probably committed it in my mind. So let's just count me guilty of everything. So forget the blogs. I'm the worst guy on the whole planet. I am the last sinner saved. If you go down the book of life, you know, if you ever get a chance to look through the book of life, and you flip to the last page, the last name is mine.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Benjamin Baruch sharing his heart, talking about this ailment. But my friends, this is the true diagnosis. In the midst of all of this mess that's going on today in the body of Christ, God is going to purge his church. He's going to work out the wrinkles. He needs to. If we're going to be God's remnant, we need to have those things burned out of our lives. So right now we are living in a very, very unique period of time. And God is seeking to awaken the sleepy soul. And as strange as it seems, folks, God does use people to deliver the message, this warning message. He uses regular folks. But unfortunately, this strategy of God is resisted by most people. And unfortunately, it's always been that way. The Bible even tells us that it's been that way. And when I was talking to Benjamin, he mentioned a verse in 2 Chronicles, and I also mentioned it, but I want to read it right here. And if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 36. If you're familiar with this verse, then you know what it says. But if you're not familiar, please turn, because I just want to show you what it says. 2 Chronicles 36, 15. And the Lord God of their fathers sent warnings to them by his messengers, rising early and sending them because he had, why? Why did he send the messengers? Because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. So it says God sent messengers. Folks, this is what God does. But look what happens in verse 16. But they mocked the messengers of God. They despised his words, and they scoffed at his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. Now, let's come forward to this time period where we are. If you're a Christian, I'm pretty sure that we can all agree that we're in the end times. If we're in the end times, that means that the book of Revelation is going to be opening up very soon. Some would even say that the book of Revelation has already opened up, but nevertheless, the book of Revelation is going to be opening. Now, here's where it gets interesting, folks. There are some Christians who do not believe that God warns people through messengers in this dispensation that we're in this age of grace. God no longer warns through messengers, quote unquote. However, we can read in the book of Revelation, it talks about the two witnesses that are going to be going throughout the earth, prophesying and doing some amazing things. Now, according to the people that say God no longer uses messengers, well then, what's going on with these two witnesses? Also, it says in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 28, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Now, this is a prophecy about the last days. This is a supernatural thing that God is going to be doing in the last days. Now, for those that would say, well, Nathan, you're quoting from the book of Joel. That's the Old Testament. Okay, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 17. Write that down, folks. Acts 2:17. This is Peter talking on the day of Pentecost. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now there you go, folks. I just read you some passages of scripture that tell us that this supernatural outpouring is going to be happening in the last days. Now, why am I bringing all this up? Why am I saying these things? Here's why, folks. Because I want it to be on record, and I need to address that as we saw in the days of old, where God would send a messenger and they would get mocked and scoffed, this is nothing new for the people to mock and scoff God's warning message. Now, for those of you out there that say, well, Nathan, who made you a prophet? Why do you think that you have this privilege? Well, folks, let me say this. In that verse, 2 Chronicles 36, verse 15, it mentioned two groups of people. It said the Lord God of their fathers sent to them his messengers, and then it mentions his prophets. Now, in the original Hebrew, the word messengers that is quoted in 2 Chronicles 36, 15 means a messenger. An ambassador, it does mean a prophet, it means a priest, or even a teacher. So God can use a variety of offices to warn the people of what is coming, of his judgment, his impending judgment. And I have always stated on all of my programs, it's on record, folks, that I, Nathan Liao of Watchman's Cry, God called me to be a messenger. I've never called myself a prophet, but those that want to rise up with their mocking and scoffing, who have built these abominable blogs that are full of lies, actually say on their blogs that Nathan calls himself a prophet. And folks, by those very words, that shows that those people are liars. And that shows that those people are lying about someone else. And that reveals that those people are committing the abominations that Benjamin and I just spoke about. So note to all of you that read these abominations, please keep in mind that you're reading lies that are abominations in the eyes of God. Okay, that needs to be said because this is a very, very serious matter, and it's a very serious thing that these people are doing. Now, I mentioned at the beginning of this program that the love of many would wax cold and they would be betraying one another. Folks, I submit to you right here that those individuals who are mocking and scoffing the watchmen of God, the messengers of God, are fulfilling what we read in Matthew 24. They are betraying the people of God. And if you happen to be taking part in this type of activity, I want to warn you, there are going to be consequences to polluting your spirit and soul with this type of activity. This is a very dangerous thing to be doing. And it's a very fearful thing to be doing because our God is a consuming fire and he does not take these things lightly, folks. I'm sharing what the Bible says. This is a very serious matter that can jeopardize the eternal salvation of an individual. And if you know someone that's acting this way, you should be worried for their eternal soul. And if you are conducting yourselves in this manner of tale-bearing, of slander, then I would say this. This is not a light thing. As I said earlier, in the list of the sins that Christians can do, fornication, adultery, thievery, robbing little old ladies, murder, theft, the worst one that we know of in the history of man was what Judas Iscariot did, betrayal. Folks, you do not want to be numbered among those who are the betrayers. If anything, you want to be those that endured. You want to be those that endured the persecution. You want to be numbered among those that had faith in God and loved your enemies in spite of what was happening. Now, if some people are wondering, Nathan, are you saying all of these things because you hate these people that are doing these things? Folks, my job is to be a messenger and to warn. I'm not the only one. There are many out there. But in being a voice of warning, I have to also bring the truth, and I also have to challenge with the consequences of disobeying the commandments of God. And ladies and gentlemen, there are great consequences. The reason that Watchman's Cry exists is to be a venue for God to warn what's happening. The world does not like this. And the prophecies that God has given me and the dreams and visions that I have shared, they're hated by the world. They're denied, despised, rejected, mocked, scoffed. And some of these scoffers say, God doesn't do this, Nathan. God doesn't judge. And some of the other scoffers say, Nathan, who do you think you are? Well, first of all, let me say this, folks. Yes, he does do this. It has been prophesied that he will do this in the last days. To the question, Nathan, who do you think you are? Here's the answer. Nobody. I don't think I'm anybody. I'm just a person that God recruited. That's it. Some people say, Nathan, you can't hear God. You're telling us you heard God. Who do you think you are to say you heard God? Well, folks, allow me to give a rebuttal to that nonsense. Jesus said in the book of John, my sheep hear my voice, my sheep know my voice, and as strangers they will not follow. Now, folks, that means that if you are a born-again believer, if you're a follower of Jesus, that you should be able to hear his voice. And when you hear his voice, it means that you should also know his voice. And it also means this. When you hear a voice that's saying something that is against the writings of Jesus, you should know that they're a stranger. They're a false voice. Folks, God warns us about this. He tells us that voices are going to rise up and lie to the people and deceive many. Isn't it amazing, folks? God is trying to warn his people because he cares about them. He wants to warn the body of Christ of his judgment that's coming. But still, the mockers and scoffers, they say, Nathan, by whose authority are you speaking? Well, let me answer that one also, folks. Whose authority? It's by the authority of the God of Israel, by the authority of the one who saved me, and it's by the authority of the one who called me to ministry. It's by the authority of the scriptures of the holy word of God, and it's by the authority of what God said in his holy word, which is this, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And also, again, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Sons and daughters shall prophesy. So again, folks, to the vile words that would say that God doesn't do this. Oh, really? My friend, are you going to throw down your Bible and listen to that? Or are you going to believe what the scripture says? God said, my sheep hear my voice, and they know my voice, and as strangers, they will not follow. So folks, according to Jesus, we're supposed to hear his voice. And you know what? I can hear his voice. And if you are his sheep, you should also be able to hear the voice of God. The voice of God is speaking right now. And he's trying to warn all that will listen that the day of judgment has arrived on America and the world. But Satan, the father of lies, does not want the people to believe this. Satan does not want people to know this. Satan does not want people preparing for this because he wants them to burn in hell. He doesn't want their souls to be redeemed. He doesn't want the backslider to come back to God. He doesn't want people to have the fear of God and to repent and to come to the foot of the cross and to submit their lives and ask for forgiveness. That's the other voice, folks. The other voice says to resist the warning message. The other voice of Satan tries to get people to continue in their complacency. The other voice of Satan tries to accuse the warning message as just fear-mongering. Fear-mongering? You know what, folks? The United States is falling apart right now. The economy is in shambles. The economic climate has been destroyed. The real estate market has been destroyed. All it takes is for an individual that has any sense to go to the internet and type in this thing. Type it in, folks. Go to Drudge, and you can read the mess that's going on in the world right now. We're about to have a world war. 50 million people are in food stamps. Over 20% of people no longer have a job. The majority of college graduates can't find work, so they have to move back home, and they're in massive debt. We have the judgment of God that includes satanic demons that have been allowed to be released in this world, and we're seeing great evil occur. We're seeing savages that are conducting cannibalistic murders. We see people that are killing and maiming one another. We see parts of this country that has become third world. Detroit, Michigan, Chicago, California, Florida. Crime waves that are taking neighborhoods and placing neighborhoods into captivity. Folks, God is judging America
period. He's doing it right now. And several years ago, he raised up Watchman's Cry to warn the world and to warn America. And God placed on my lips the warning and prophecies of what was coming. God said that the waters were going to be poisoned in America. And I put that on record years ago in 2008. It's on record. The waters are going to be polluted. 2 years later, the Deepwater Horizon exploded in the Gulf of Mexico. And to this day, we have the poisoned water in the Gulf of Mexico. And for the scoffers and mockers out there that are saying, Nathan, it did not happen. Really? The waters in the Gulf of Mexico aren't polluted? Well, I invite you to go to the Gulf, go to one of the Gulf states, and talk to one of the shrimpers. Ask them what they're catching. And they'll tell you. They're catching shrimp that are growing without eyeballs, that are deformed. The shrimp have no eyes. They're catching fish with sores and boils and lesions all over their body. They're catching deformed crabs. You can go on YouTube and type it in. Type in the Gulf of Mexico, shrimp with no eyeballs. Look what comes up. The waters are poisoned down there. And if you want to argue and say, no, they're not, then go swim in it. Go fishing in it and watch what will happen. Nathan, how could you say such things? Here's why, folks. Because God wants to warn his people what's going on. And I'm trying to warn. But it says in 2 Chronicles 36:16 that they mock the messengers, they despise the words, they misuse the prophets until the, here it is, folks, the wrath of the Lord will arise in the people till there is no remedy. Fukushima exploded over a year ago, and that radiation has been poisoning the fresh water of America. It's poisoning the West Coast. It's poisoning California, all the way up to Washington. Radiation contamination is in the water. Bluefin tuna has been caught that has radiation in it. Folks, this is an entire other program that I could go into deep detail, but I'm just mentioning these things because these events are taking place right now. They are underway, and here's the disturbing part of this message. We're just getting started. More is coming. In 2009, the Holy Spirit gave me a prophecy that said, there shall be drought in the land. And I published it. It's on my website under Prophecies, Dreams, and Visions. Go read it. The sun's going to dry out the land. The cattle, the herds of cattle would die. It goes into detail of what's going to happen. That was over 3 years ago. Since then, we have seen a great drought happen in Texas. And now the drought is spreading to the rest of the country. The drought is underway right now, folks. 56% of the nation is in drought right now. Nathan, what are you saying? I'm saying that God has been trying to warn his people that these things are coming. We have poison water. We have drought. The super depression is coming. The dollar's getting abandoned. The banks are going to fail. War is coming. Terrorist attacks are coming. We're going to have cities burning in America. Why? Because America is under judgment. Well, Nathan, why are you telling us this? I'm just a voice. That's all. I'm an imperfect, feeble human with physical ailments. I'm some guy with a crippled knee that God decided to awaken with a message. Here's the message, folks. Every one of us need to be preparing our hearts right now. We need to be returning from our backsliding. All of us. We all need to come back to God. We all need to be finding shelter in God. We need to be seeking his mercy. We need to be praying for our family like we've never prayed before. We need to be fasting for his protection. Fasting to kill our flesh. Fasting to get victory over those strongholds. We need to be seeking his will. My friend, you need to be seeking God's will right now. This thing's playing out. This thing is the beginning of a season of great darkness. And folks, this darkness is approaching right now. And to those that have the ears to hear, let them hear. And to those that do not have the ears to hear, well, may God's mercy find you. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what else I can say. There's a lot that's coming. I know that these things can be hard to hear at times. I know they are. But you still got to hear it because God is speaking right now. And he wants his people to be ready. This thing that we talked about on this program, about the seven abominations, folks, this is very serious. And I want to challenge you to make sure that these things are not a part of your life. If they are, seek repentance from God. Because, folks, God will not be mocked. The law of sowing and reaping is real. There will be a harvest.
If you have some people that you've mistreated, you've wronged, you need to be repenting. Find God's mercy, folks. Do it now while you can. I want to thank you for listening to this program. My website is watchmanscry.com. I have a lot of messages that talk about all of these things, folks. And I pray that God's will be done in your life and in the lives of his people. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this message. It was a hard message, God. It was a disturbing message. But Father God, shine the light of your Holy Spirit inside every heart that's listening. And if there are any that are struggling with bitterness, with anger, with malice, there are some that are struggling with a heart that has grown cold towards you and the things of your kingdom, God, light a new fire in their heart. Draw them towards you. Draw them with your love. Draw them with your Holy Spirit. Make them hungry for you once again and allow them to return to their first love, to you. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Lay your burden down. Take your troubled soul, your tired mind, and lay your burden down. Lay your burden down. Get your feet on solid ground. Take your worries to the foot of the cross and lay your burden down. Lay your burden down. Lay your burden down. Take your weary life, your heavy load, and lay your burden. Lay your burden down. Get your feet on solid ground. Take your failures to the foot of the cross and lay your burden down.
Lay your burden down.
You've been trying. But you know